Recording on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, who make some of the best gaming PCs on the planet. If you want all the benefits of building your own computer but have no clue where to start, go ahead and let our friends take care of you. Check them out at doghousesystems.com and use the code MMOREPORTER for a free 128GB solid-state drive upgrade. And by Audible, the best audiobook program in existence. If you have any kind of commute or just wish you read more, I promise you this, Audible is the solution. Go to audibletrial.com/MMOREPORTER to download a free audiobook today. Hello and welcome to episode 96 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and this week I am joined by a friend who goes by the name of Gecko. What's going on, Gecko?
Not too much, Andrew. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm so psyched to have you on the show. We've kind of been internet buds for a while now, haven't we?
Yeah. Added you a long time ago from Velen's Chosen, played a couple games, you know, here and there. So
absolutely, man. And yeah, you've been a listener for a while through my journey in the podcasting sphere and stuff. So I'm really psyched to have you on the show, man.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm psyched to be here.
Good. Well, so for our friends who may not know who you are or have only seen you in a Discord here and there, something, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, how you came into gaming, Hearthstone, all that kind of stuff? Whatever you want, man. The floor is yours for your biography.
Awesome. I guess I'll start by just letting you know, like, I jumped in a long time ago when Hearthstone first came out. I got into the beta and played a little bit then.
Oh, nice.
My background in card games, though, it started with a modest collection of Pokemon cards and Yu-Gi-Oh cards way back when
I
was younger.
I like it.
My first real game that I played, not many people may have heard of it, but it's Phantasy Star Online 3, and it was a card game.
Yeah.
Yes, oh, okay. that was my first game that I really took seriously about the card games, and I had a lot of fun with that one. So it sort of pushed me along, and then when I discovered Hearthstone, I have been an avid Blizzard supporter, paying for almost everything that they come out with. But yeah, so I've started playing Hearthstone, and I've been playing it ever since.
Very cool. Now, you've been playing it since beta, so you've seen a thing or two. Is there any time when you've really like enjoyed the game the most, or maybe I don't know, just a time when you were just playing it so much more than others?
Yeah, honestly, Andrew, I was really into Handlock. I loved those days when I could just play my zero mana Molten Giants and, you know, just walk all over people. But those days have come and gone, and I've learned to evolve and adapt, so.
I mean, some people are still trying to make it happen a little bit, but it's just, I mean, Molten Giant at 25 is, well, other than my friend Zerocio, he's still making it happen with his secret mage, but not so much in the Handlock, unfortunately.
Yes, not since the days of good old instant heal with Harrison Jones.
Yeah, what was the heal for that deck?
The big heal was Antique Healbot.
Ancient Healbot, yeah, or Antique Healbot, yeah.
Yep. But yeah, they had Mal'Ganis and everything. They were a tough deck to beat, so.
Yeah, I know. I'm always tempted to swing over to Wild just so I can play Mal'Ganis, just because that card is so bonkers. But yeah, and every time I think about Handlock, and especially like the because Handlock was a deck for a long, long time, right? I remember seeing somebody in a Hearthstone forum somewhere, in their signature it said Handlock will always be valid in the meta. And what they didn't realize is that there was a possibility that those cards could change, because I think that honestly that Molten Giant change is the only thing that really pulled it out of being something that's really viable.
Yeah. The Molten Giant, just the whole losing a neutral heal. I think when they took those out of the game, they took a lot of life out of the Handlock.
Yeah, the heal bot was a big deal too. I remember Cult Apothecary, I think, everyone was like, is this the new one or something? And it just wasn't, unfortunately. But
unfortunately, yeah. I dabbled with it, but yeah.
Well, Nat, you said that you've pretty much gotten into every Blizzard game that's come out, right?
Oh, goodness, yes. As far as it goes, I have paid for every expansion and every single game that has come out that Blizzard has taken my money.
So does that mean that you're still keeping up with WoW? You're still keeping up with Heroes of the Storm?
Yeah, I play a decent amount of Heroes of the Storm when I can. Just simple, quick matches. I like to get in, get out.
Sure.
I am married now, so I do not have as much time as I used to play games like WoW.
I hear you.
So I have downloaded all these games. I love the backstory and the lore of things like Warcraft 3 and that. So yeah.
That's great, man. Gosh, every time I've heard a lot of talk of Warcraft 3, especially with Lich King and stuff. We'll get to that, obviously, but I always forget about that game for some reason. And my dad loved Warcraft 3, and that was kind of a solid placeholder, but just an influencer, I guess, for me and him of really getting suckered into Blizzard games long term. So
yes, that seems to be the start for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Well, I'm so excited to have you on the show. Man, I'd love to hear why you're happy, because that's how we start the show. But really, man, you've got some good stuff going on, it sounds like.
Yeah. I'll tell you why I'm happy, Andrew. I have just started my 2-week vacation from work. I am going to be off and just enjoying it, spending time with my wife, going out, enjoying the sun, enjoying the summer, as well as, you know, getting into the computer room, playing a little bit of Hearthstone, playing a little bit of Diablo, and
there you go. It's nice to have a little bit of a computer vacation also, or like, I don't know, just more free time where you can kind of divvy it up how you need to.
Yes, exactly, because now, sometimes when you're busy, it's hard to get that time in.
Absolutely. Now, I've got to ask, because it's not typical to get 2 weeks off for vacation. Did your work like tell you had to take it, or did you just compile up time that was going to expire or something?
Yeah, well, I work in a factory and they do a summer shutdown for 2 weeks where it's like, hey, we need to fix all the tools. We need to get everything prepped and ready for when you guys come back. When you do, everything's going to be good to go. So it's sort of a mandatory shutdown. But you know what? I look forward to it every single year.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone in that factory does.
Yeah. It's nice to get out of there. Yeah.
Especially during the summer months when I don't know, what part of the country are you in?
Well, I'm up in Canada.
Oh, you're in Canada. Okay,
yes,
nice.
Yes. I am a neighbor to Eve Martin. She's on the West Coast. Yeah, yeah. I'm over in Ontario. I'm in actually a border city to Detroit named Windsor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard of Windsor. I was distracted because I just remembered that I had a coworker this week who literally thought that Canada was in one time zone, and we had to pull out a map and show her like, no, I'm so...
Yes, unfortunately, Canada is a little bit bigger than that.
It's like saying that, you know, two people from America and stuff, but I have heard it gets extremely hot out there too. So I'm sure it's nice that this is the time period that they choose to shut it down.
Yes, it gets nice and hot and humid around here. We have the Great Lakes around us. Crazy. So, mm-hmm.
Oh, because of the lakes. That's right. I'm from Texas originally, and down there is just miserable. I was always, I always thought the equator was the reason why places got hot, but not the case. When you've got the humidity all around you, it's just no good.
Yeah.
Anyway, happy because I had something really exciting happen. I went camping, and I can't remember if I mentioned it beforehand, but I ended up sharing it on social media. And while I was out at the campsite with my wife, I thought, I'm not going to play Hearthstone, even though I've got Wi-Fi here, because that just seems cheating, you know. And it's
this
just
is family
days.
Time, right?
Exactly. I got to be concentrated. But I was able to jump on Twitter every now and then and started a hashtag Hearthstone Goes Camping and just threw out some fun things that I was running into that reminded me of cards. And it all started, actually. The first one was I was hiking with my wife, these beautiful lakes up in we were in Carbondale, Colorado, which is near Aspen, and we're out at these it's not the Hanging Lakes, I can't remember what they called it. Anyway, there's this river rushing by, and she says, man, that's a beautiful babbling brook. And I was like, babbling brook, wait a minute, I forgot there's a card and it kind of plays at that, you know. So I had some fun on there, and I want to shout out to Stray Dog and Mr. Jones because they got some of those correct, and that was a total blast. It was kind of out of nowhere, so if you missed it, I'm sorry, but you got to be following me on Twitter to see that. At Andrew's Living. So that was fun to get some time with my wife and to go tent camping for the very first time. I had never done that because the humid weather that I grew up in, it's, you really don't want to go camping.
Yeah, when you're out in Texas in the heat, you probably want to stay indoors a little more.
Absolutely. But here in Colorado, it's actually nice and cool, and you know, it's not bone dry outside, but it's dry enough that it's totally nice, you know.
Yeah. So, oh, the mountains are beautiful out there.
Oh my gosh, I don't know why I ever left, honestly. Well, I do, but that's a story for another podcast. So,
yeah, besides yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, man, I just had, we're closing up the weekend, and I just had a good heart weekend with my wife, and that's kind of general, but I'm sure those of us who, you know, married in a serious relationship or been in one, like, there are those times when you remember why you're with the person you're with, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I was in a dry season where I needed to be reminded of that by any stretch, but like, she is just amazing, and I'm just so thankful for her. So it's one of those weekends that I will probably remember for the rest of my life, just because it's a cornerstone, kind of, you know, one of those things. So just really thankful for that and for her. Don't talk about her as much because she's just not much of a gamer, honestly.
It's all right. I share that feeling.
Same thing. Okay, so maybe you can relate with this. So we've been married for about 3.5 years, and when we first got married, we realized, like, okay, you know, I really enjoy gaming. It's part of my life. It's not really part of yours, but maybe we can kind of find something. And the one thing that she really knew was Mario, right? Like, old school side scroller Mario. And mm-hmm. I never really played through the new Super Mario Brothers on Wii. So I said, let's try this out on Sundays. We can spend a little time and just co-op, you know, play through it. But I'm such a gamer that I'm like, I'm speed running through these levels. And she's, you know, when we get to each gap and stuff, she's just trying to make it over, you know, and like, you know, get up next to the gap and okay, I got to jump. And I'm like, come on, we got to go. It ended up being more stress than helpful, honestly, for both of us. So
yeah, you got to somehow set that gamer mentality aside when you stop realizing that you're playing with somebody who doesn't play as much as you.
We had some great premarital counseling, though. Our counselor told us you have to have 0% of common interests in order to have an amazing marriage, because those are just things you do. You know, you have to be able to communicate. You have to be able to really treasure one another, sacrifice for each other. That's the stuff that really matters. But it's a funny memory, honestly, looking back now. So, but we're not here to talk about premarital counseling. We're here to talk about a flipping card game that we all love. And dude, we have got some news to talk about, so I'm excited to talk about this stuff with you. We kind of have to breeze through this first one, but it is important enough to talk about that the Midsummer Fire Festival is going on right now. And if you've logged in the past week, you've seen this. Ragnaros has taken over Hearthstone.
Yes, there's fire abound, even in the title screen, just dancing around.
It's actually really pretty, honestly. I kind of wanted to just stay there on the main screen and just watch the embers flicker and stuff like that. It's pretty. But the big deal is that all of your quests now are going to reward you with double the gold that they usually would. So those 40 gold quests are now going to give you 80. The 60 are giving you 120. The big one is for the playing against a friend. That's 160 gold for each of you, which is just crazy. So for them to do this at all is pretty generous. For them to do it right on, like right before an expansion comes out.
It's the eve of an expansion.
It's just bananas. Like, there's no reason for it. So I'm incredibly thankful. I've been grinding my quests. Has this upped your gameplay at all, Gecko?
It has. I've been jumping on every single day, checking out what new quest I have, making sure I get it done. And then, after I got that quest done, I know. I got to save up. The Frozen Throne is coming. I got to save my gold.
No, that's right, man. And you know, I honestly, like, I get that point in each expansion when I say, I think I have all the cards I really want, so I'm okay with just starting to hoard up gold now. So if you have not started doing that, you need to, because it's coming. But this is a great incentive to get on and to just play a lot of games. So It's been a lot of fun. And also, if you played last week's Brawl, you have some fun fireworks for your WoW emote and a Midsummer Fire Festival greeting. So hopefully you have that kind of stuff. Gecko, what do you think about these kind of, I don't know, this is a throwback to WoW lore, right? If I'm right about that?
Yeah. The Midsummer Fire Festival was in Warcraft. It was World of Warcraft. It was the festival that they put on in basically, as it suggests, the middle of the summer. Just a way to get people into the game and the summertime. There was a lot of bonuses you could get, extra experience when you're playing WoW.
Gotcha.
And I think that's kind of what they're going for with this. I mean, giving us more gold for our quests, kind of, here you go, guys. Come on. I know you want to get out in that sun, but come on. Just do your one quest. So.
Well, and it's a sneaky thing that really doesn't cost them anything. But for us as the players, it's like, yeah, of course I'm going to go on and do that, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I try to get through my quests all the time, but now I'm even more like, okay, I cannot, you know, if I have 3 quests, I have to get one done today. And I certainly need to get through all of them before time runs out. I didn't have a specific end date on here, but I think I read that they're going to be 2 weeks. Is that right, that this is going to run?
I did not check that. Either. I'm gonna go with your word on it. I trust you, Andrew. I think you got 2 weeks.
I'll throw that out there. It's less than 2 weeks now as you're listening to this,
yes,
obviously.
Yes.
So be sure to check all the news channels, Hearthpwn and stuff like that, so that you don't miss it. But the big news, we don't have to check because we know it, and you alluded to it, Gecko. Knights of the Frozen Throne is the next expansion, and man, I'm excited. Now, it sounds like you know a little bit more about this lore. So can you tell us a little bit, Gecko, about what they're doing? We know about the Lich King, but what's going on with all of that? How are they twisting it for Hearthstone?
Well, Hearthstone has taken it and they've put their own little spin on it. As they suggested before, this is not Heroes of Warcraft anymore. They're not going to go word for word from Warcraft.
Right.
So what they want to do, from the looks of things, is they're going to take every single hero in the game and they're going to give them a Death Knight spin. Basically, they're all going to get their version of a Lich King.
Very cool. I mean, we've been wondering what, you know, Death Knight and Monks, I think, are the two classes missing. And it sounds like with this, they're kind of putting the kibosh on any new classes because they're kind of making every class into a potential Death Knight.
Yes, and
swing.
Funny story about that. When I heard about this expansion, the first thing that came to mind was, oh my goodness, they're coming out with the Death Knight. Here it comes. And then nothing about it. I was like, oh no. But
I think a lot of people were holding out hope for it, but yes. You know, they've been approached about it before and said they weren't working on it. I think this is a clear sign that it's going to be a long, long time if we were ever to see more. Unfortunately. But the fortunate thing is we don't just get one Death Knight, we get 9 Death Knights. So
that's very
kind
true.
Of more big for your buck.
Yeah. I just gotta take it in like that. Absolutely.
Well, and everyone had always talked about how difficult it would be to make a new class now where you've got these classes with backlogs of expansions and stuff like that, you know, and you'd have to make classic cards, basic cards. And really you start thinking, do we have to go back and make some Goblins versus Gnome cards for this new class? It would just be tough because their repertoire would be so limited. Maybe you don't play them in Wild, I don't know, but I think this makes a lot more sense for them and also still gives us more than kind of we asked for. So I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely something to be excited about. I do know that they had said they're going to bring back the old packs for us to purchase, so there's an opportunity to get those Goblins versus Gnomes.
Now, I did forget to put that in here, but those are coming. So all the past adventures and expansions, that's a good catcher.
Yeah.
That. Now, so the way that they're doing these Death Knights is that they're adding a new kind of card to the game, and those are called hero cards. And the easiest way to understand these is that they're very, very similar to quest cards, in so much as they're legendary cards. They're kind of their own dimension of cards, and each class is going to get one in this expansion. I kind of wonder if we're ever going to see quest cards again, if we'll ever see hero cards again. I definitely don't want to speculate and limit what's possible, but mm-hmm. definitely this is the big kind of twist and extra sort of legendary that they want to do for this expansion. So these hero cards are going to function very similarly to when you play Lord Draxus and how he replaces your hero portrait. You get a new hero power. He messes with your health, but they're also going to do some other helpful things as well. And so the one hero card that they showed us, we'll tell you guys about, it's called Deathstalker Rexxar. So this is Rexxar as a Death Knight, and it's going to cost mm-hmm. 6 mana for you to play. It will add 5 armor to your hero, so your health will stay exactly the same, but you'll gain an additional 5 health in the form of armor. It also reads, Battle Cry, deal 2 damage to all enemy minions, and your new hero power is going to be called Build-A-Beast, and this is 2 mana, and it reads, Craft a Custom Zom Beast.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, what else could you ask? You just, that's intuitive, right? You know what that is?
Oh, yes. I was watching, I watched the video. I saw some of the creations that they were coming up with, and my mind was racing as far as some of the insane things that you could build with the Zombeast.
So go ahead and tell us real quick, Gecko, how it works. Like, what's the craft of custom Zombeast?
All right. Well, the custom Zombeast, so you'll discover twice from 3 random beasts. So your 2 choices will be combined, and the mana cost, attack, health, and effects be added as 1 horrific additional minion to your hand.
Dang.
Yeah, you can get pretty crazy when you think about all the beasts that are out there in Hearthstone right now.
So any 2 beast cards are going to pop up here, and then it's going to morph them into this one like mega card. I mean, I love how this sort of feels like Kazakus, only every time you're getting something different, right? Mm-hmm. Kazakus was fun at first, but after a while, you kind of knew what to expect and stuff like this. This is going to pull from an even broader scope. And I mean, I can't imagine the Trolldom videos that are going to come out of this because there's probably some horrific choices in both the good and bad way that will make it onto the field at some point. So I got to know what you're dreaming of. Are there things that you've thought of that you would like to see or can't wait to pull?
Oh, there's some scary things. I was thinking one in particular was a Vicious Fledgling as well as a Tundra Rhino. You have a charge beast that is basically adapting every time it attacks, as well as giving all your other minions charge, or all your other beasts charge.
Even Vicious Fledgling with the Stone Tusk Boar. I mean,
yes.
I mean, really, I hadn't thought of Vicious Fledgling, but that card is problematic enough on its own. You combine that with just about anything, and that's... Oh, yikes.
Yes, as well, some of the other ones that we have here, the Bittertide Hydra, that 8/8 mixed with a Stranglethorn Tiger, so it's gonna wait patiently, hiding in stealth before it slams you in the face.
Well, and let's be really clear about that. So it's combining everything, right? So Bittertide, yes. Hydra, Stranglethorn Tiger, that's 10 mana total. So this takes your whole turn to play it, but it's going to have the 8/8 and the 5/5. So it's a 13/13 with stealth that every time it takes damage, it deals 3 damage to your hero, which obviously that's a downside, but a 13/13 with stealth, I think that's pretty good. Yeah. I've got this feeling in my gut that says...
I've played this game long enough that I think that a 13/13 is going to hurt a lot if it hits you in the face. Yeah.
And especially when it has stealth. I mean, if you don't have something like Deadly Shot to like get rid of it, that's just crazy.
Yes, I see many twisting nethers in my hand that hopefully will catch
something
this.
Like that. Yeah. Gosh, I started thinking about stuff too. The Charge Devil Sore or King Crush with an angry chicken, if you can imagine that. I mean, the Charge Devil Sore already has to attack something on the board, so I feel like that with the, you know, Enrage plus 5, care about the 1/1. I mean, that's a... So what is that? An 8/8. So if you attack into a 1 attack something, that's a 13/7. That's a 13/7 minion on your next turn. I mean, that's just crazy. And that's, what is he? He's 8 mana. So that's 9 mana. Or with King Crush, you've just got a 10 mana charge, 9/9. Yeah, yep. I feel like charge really is the mechanic that is going to make this interesting. And, you know, charge has been problematic for them in the past, but there's going to be a lot to the Stone Tusk Boar, to the Tundra Rhino. I mean, because this card is going to be played in a beast deck more than likely. So you're going to have other cards that you could get off of those. Or you may already have a Tundra Rhino on board. And then whatever you make, it doesn't even need to have charge, right?
Yes, I mean, that's very true. Yeah, because all these beasts effects, I mean, Hunter is already, we see it on ladder, that Beast Hunter, it just runs away with the board already. So I can only imagine when you start getting some of these concoctions in there.
So I've got to throw out one dream scenario, and then I want to come back to this real quick. But Jungle Panther and Dispatch Kodo, that's a smaller thing, because you wouldn't think of those really. But it's a 2-4 and a 4-2, right? So that's a 6-6 minion with stealth that deals 6 damage to something. For 7 mana. I feel like that's pretty good. It's not sexy necessarily, but I would not be upset pulling those two things.
Basically making a Blaze Caller that does one more damage and is stealth. That's when exactly it's on the board.
Right. Yep. That's exactly right. And it doesn't have a condition, so that's good. But I think, you know, you think about where does this card fit, and obviously, people are going to try and make some beast decks out of this. The interesting, you kind of have to think of this hero power sort of like Life Tap for Warlock, except you're not drawing something from your deck, you're drawing something from nothing, which is always a very powerful effect. Even with cards like cards that haven't gotten into the meta as much, like Cabal Trafficker Ysera has certainly been in the meta. But that effect is really powerful because it gets you something that's typically valuable. And the fact that you get to choose what those things are, like you have a lot of control. I think this is a very powerful effect that could have a lot of, this could actually bring Beast Hunter into itself. I think.
Yes. I think it accomplishes exactly what the quest cards did, where it's creating an entirely different style. People will want to create something more along the lines of a control hunter, which has been thrown around a lot out there.
Sure, sure.
I mean, you have Deadly Shot, you have many, many options as a hunter to take out anyone's board, and then what this will do is it's creating monsters for you, or beasts, over and over and over again. So,
And I think it's really helpful, too, that you kind of get a little bit of armor, just because, you know, you think about a control Rexxar, you know, hunter deck, and there's never really been a way to kind of up your health, and granted, 5 armor probably doesn't do that.
Yeah,
but,
unfortunately.
But it's something. I mean, what do you think about the fact that these have the mechanic? We haven't even mentioned the deal 2 damage to all enemy minions. Like, do you like where they're going with these hero cards and what we could see from future classes?
I am very excited. I am really hoping to see what they do. As I said before, I think it has a lot to do with the quest style, where you're building a deck around accomplishing this. So you're going to see a lot of decks probably coming out when you see some of these different archetypes, and hopefully these new heroes will introduce different decks into the meta that are going to be a lot of fun. We don't need any more Quest Rogue, so you can stay away from that, but I mean, it looks awesome. It looks really cool.
Absolutely. Man, that reminds me, I'm low on the totem for news because the Quest Rogue nerf happened, or they announced that it's coming as well. So if you didn't hear about that real quick, the Quest Rogue card is being changed to you have to play 5 minions with the same name instead of 4. It's a slight change, but I think it's going to be for the better. You know, every other podcast is talking about it, so I'm sure you've listened and all of that. But do you have any thoughts on that real quick?
I'm very happy about it. But I mean, Quest Rogue is a lot of fun to play. Anyone who has played it knows it is very capable to bounce 5 minion or a minion 5 times. Especially with those flame elementals. So it's still going to be very viable. I think a lot of people are still going to play it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I listened to my buddy Steve Wicked Good. He actually launched a podcast this past week called Off Curve. And you can go find that. I listened to his thoughts on Quest Rogue, and honestly, I'm right in line with him. I think it's good for the game ultimately. And especially for new players, because I agree with you, Gecko, that it's fun to play, but it's not fun to play against. And I think that's ultimately the big thing that they decided. We need to do something to allow, especially the newer players or people who don't know this game as well, to, you know, have a shot. So thankful for that. Anyway, the only other thing to say about the hero cards is that they also confirmed that alternate heroes are still going to transform into whoever the card is for. So Illyria, if you have Deathstalker Rexxar, she will transform into Deathstalker Rexxar, not her own Death Knight version, which is kind of sad, but that's fine. I'd rather them make this expansion really good than actually go through and make every single portrait, especially mage, that, you know.
Yeah,
the 15 heroes that they have for that class or whatever.
All the different versions of mage, yes.
Yeah. So we also have a new mechanic that they announced. You want to tell us about this, Gecko?
Yeah, absolutely. I love this. When they take something that is in the game and instead of giving you a bunch of text, they summarize it and bring it all together. And the new mechanic is called Lifesteal. And so when you've seen this on cards before, like Mistress of Pain, Wicker Flame, Burn Bristle, where whenever this minion attacks or takes damage, you are going to be healed for the damage that that minion deals. Do you want to go ahead and talk about some of the new cards that are going to have this mechanic?
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about this first one here.
Yeah. It's a priest card by the name of Spirit Lash. It's going to be 2 mana, it lifesteals, and it'll deal 1 damage to all minions. So when you're going up against some of those big boards like a shaman or a hunter, you can play this, deal some damage to all their minions, as well as get some of that life that they've been doing damage to you back.
And it's worth saying that this is a spell. We've only seen this effect in the past in minions, so it's cool that they're really, you know, they were very intentional with the few cards that they showed to even show, like, hey, this lifesteal thing, we're thinking about other stuff to do with it. You know, the Spirit Lash is very similar to Arcane Explosion or the Maelstrom Portal, but instead of getting a random minion, you're getting some health, which obviously Priest likes that, right? Don't play this with Akanai's Soul Priest on board. It's not a good idea.
That would hurt a little bit.
No, but I think that this is very good, especially when Priest is kind of lacking some area of effects. Excavated Evil has been rotated into Wild, and so something small that can kind of help Priest in the early game, I think, is really, really good, especially when they're, you know, notorious for having to heal their own face on turn 2 when they're already at 30 health. You know, something like can help you in those aggro matchups.
Exactly. And our second card is going to be the Chillblade Champion, which is a common paladin minion with 4 mana, 3 attack, 2 health, charge, and lifesteal.
Very simple. Mm-hmm. What do you think of this?
I'm not too sure about it. I feel like the cost is a little bit heavy on the 4 side, but for the body of a 3-2. But I think in a pinch, it may be very good for the paladins of control to be able to get some of the board back with the charge, as well as get some of that healing. So that's where I see it.
Yeah, the weird thing is, when I first saw this, I was like, why would you want a 3 attack, 2 health minion with charge, you know, in kind of that mid game? But once I've realized, like, because he has lifesteal, wouldn't you want to play him and attack your enemy hero's face and then let them deal with it? Because if they have to run a minion into him, that's going to heal you again for whatever attack he does. So this could be like a 4 mana 3-2 with charge that heals you for 6, and all of a sudden that seems a bit more interesting to me.
Yes, you know what, Andrew, I am just stopping to think about this really for a second, and you know what's coming with my deck and what's going to be happening, and I think these buffing cards have been overlooked. If you get a couple of buffs on this guy,
I didn't think about that either. No, absolutely.
You could get some serious healing as well as that charge effect, because a paladin card with charge would be very nice.
Wait, and by turn 4, you could have hit 2 or even 3 buffs on this guy. I mean, if this is a 4 mana 4-3 with charge and lifesteal, that's a Corcoran Elite, which is a fine card.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you even get 1 buff on, man, I didn't think about that, but that's... maybe buff paladin is actually gonna happen.
It'll sneak into the meta, hopefully. Wow. I'm hoping for it, but
Man, well, that's just a little skew of the cards that were released. There's a couple more, and you can go see those on the web if you want. We might talk about some of them on the next episode as well. But they announced that July 24th, they're going to be releasing more cards. So we've kind of got a time where we've sort of got to grit our teeth and hope for the best. We might have one or two cards leaked, maybe. I remember General Megasaur was kind of one that sort of slipped under the radar that wasn't ever official. Mm-hmm. So we'll see, but this is definitely a time to be skeptical. So if you see something leaked, you know, just do your homework. If you see it just on Reddit, then that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Yes, but don't buy into all the clickbait when it comes to all these new cards.
No, absolutely. But we'll be sure to bring you up-to-date stuff on the next episodes. And of course, Steve and I have already started working on our next review, so we are psyched to bring that and talk for 20 hours at a time about all these cards. So
hey, those are my favorite episodes. Just dig right in. Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear that, man. The other exciting thing is missions. So we've heard about this in the past. They were going to add some single player content to these expansions. So they went away from doing adventures, and what they wanted to do moving forward was combine the two. So if you watched the announcement trailer, you heard all the backstory and stuff. If you didn't, I'd really encourage you to go check it out. It was fun to listen to the developers talk about kind of the why behind this, but I'll spare you that if you've already heard it and tell you about the what, because this is a big deal that everybody's going to be able to play these for free. So there's no extra charge on this or anything, but you're going to be fighting your way to the top of Ice Crown Citadel against a ton of bosses that you've seen from the Lich King expansion. And of course, he's going to be the final boss there. So what they've said is that there is going to be a prologue, and everyone will be able to play that. We actually know a few more details because Eloise did an interview at the HCT here recently about it. And so this prologue that you're going to play is, I guess we know that it's going to be a pre-made deck, whatever. The really exciting thing, because I've been banging on this drum for a while, if you've been listening to this show, is that when you beat the prologue mission, you were going to get a random hero card.
Yes.
Have mercy. I'm so thankful for that.
The days of not getting a guaranteed legendary are confirmed and not happening. Right. We get something.
Now, I mean, I've exhausted this, but it's just worth saying one more time that when you come out with, you know, 9 new legendary cards, that's a lot for people to get into.
Yes.
The other piece of news we didn't talk about is that they're updating the packs and stuff. So the first 10 packs you open in this expansion, you're guaranteed a legendary. And then the pity timer that we know of kind of resets, and you should be getting one every 40 at least, or at most, at least.
Yes, and that means when you buy into that pre-order, you're guaranteed at least 2 legendaries, so that's at least something.
But then playing this prologue, you're guaranteed a third.
Yes, absolutely.
And look, all of those legendaries may not maybe ones that you're not as excited about, but come on, you've got to be thankful that you know that they're throwing us a bone with that. You know, I am super jacked that they decided to go this route. It's again super generous of them. It's not something that we deserve, but I think that when they're kind of making a little bit higher barrier to, you know, people being able to play the cards they really want to, or they're really, I mean, we just talked about Deathstalker Rexxar for way too long, and I don't even know if he's going to be the best one or the most viable one or the one I'm most excited about at the end. In fact, there's a good chance because he's the first one, he probably won't be as exciting when
when you see some of the others.
Yeah, that's just kind of how it goes. But anyway, so I'm super excited. Had to tell you guys about that. So the prologue's going to happen, and then you're going to have I think 2 other wings, and then the Lich King is going to be the third and final wing. So he's kind of going to be his own thing. And each time you beat one of those wings, or maybe at the end, a little unsure, but you're going to get 1 pack of Frozen Throne cards for each wing. So that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Also, little thing that kind of got lost in some of these is that if you defeat the Lich King with all 9 classes, you're going to receive a special reward. And we have no clue what that means or what it is, but you're going to get a little something. I kind of wonder if this is sort of that heroic card back that they, you know, will be missing because there's not necessarily a heroic mode to this.
But it should be
interesting to see what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're going to throw something in there for everyone. And I, I really love this because when I heard that the adventures were going away and we were going to get these missions, I mean, this is really cool to see that they still got some flavor, some story inside of the Hearthstone universe.
Yeah, well, and they, you know, they said that this came out of the mean streets of Gadgetzee, and how they, you know, they created this whole lore and these clans and everything, and they wanted to tell some stories, but they didn't really have a way to because it had to be an expansion at that point. So, I think this is a great move going forward, and obviously free content. We can't ever get upset about that, especially when they're giving us packs to play it and stuff too. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, you're getting packs, you're getting a legendary card, and I wouldn't be surprised if we got some quests that gave some packs too. I'm just gonna throw that out there, but
they've done it before, so this is all really good stuff. So super excited to play this. It's gonna come out in mid-August, they've said. And usually they've been pretty, especially lately, they've been pretty close. So I would say right around that August 12th to 18th, you're gonna see this drop. So really excited. Like you mentioned before, pre-order is available now. And it's the same thing they've done before, $49.99 in the US for 50 packs. And they did make a card back this time. So no more Gadgetzee sadness or anything like that.
Yeah. Glad to see that trend continuing. I love those card
Yeah.
backs, so.
I think people were pretty upset about that, even though it's just a little. This is a little card back, but it's still nice. Oh, and I do have to throw out for all the WoW lore nerds that they did also confirm that the Lich King will be manned by Arthas, not
The
Bolvar.
true
So,
Lich King.
is he the true Lich King? Okay, I
Yeah.
assume as much,
After Bolvar took over, it kind of drifted off into the shadows. But I mean, Arthas
So they
was the
do.
big hero.
So they're doing the right thing then, I assume, by
Yes,
your
absolutely.
Good, excited. Also, I just have to throw this out there that today I rewatched the announcement trailer, and in every announcement trailer, they've always thrown some of their the cards coming in the very beginning. There's sort of, you know, a bunch of cards being thrown at the screen, and I specifically remember Whispers of the Old Gods seeing the tormented. Oh my gosh, why can't I remember his name? The tormented villager, something like that.
I think
The
so.
1/1 for one with a death rattle that gives you a 1/1, the warlock card.
Ah, yes. Tormented Villager.
Okay, great. I remember
Or
seeing it.
Possessed Villager,
Possessed
that's the
villager,
word.
thank you. So it's the most cringeworthy thing on Hearthstone podcast when you don't know what
What
going
are the
through. Sorry about
cards?
that.
No,
Yeah,
that's all
please
right.
keep listening. But they always don't show you what the effect of the card is. So it was just the artwork with a 1-mana 1/1, and it showed it was a warlock card. I was looking through it today, and I saw that there's everything on there was warlock minion, so it was all purple. And I don't know, it might be a stretch to say that they are actually going to be warlock cards. It might just be placeholder or something. But there was a 4-mana 5/1 in there. Which I see that and I start thinking, what could they put on a 4-mana 5/1 to make it playable? Like, is it like battle cry, give this minion 10 health or something like, you know,
Andrew,
I but my
I think I might know this one.
Yeah?
When it
Okay.
comes to these 5/1s, I know since our what was it, the raging
Yeah, the
the
magma
since then,
rager.
yes, people have not enjoyed these kind of cards. But what I'm definitely going to say about this is they have already preluded to that Death Rattle is coming back. And I can see
That's
this
true.
5/1 being something when it Death Rattles.
So what if it was a death rattle that gave you a 1/5? And granted,
Oh.
like that's not exciting at all. I mean, you say, okay, smash two bad cards together doesn't make a good card. But it would be value at that point, and I wonder if there's some weird shenanigans you could do to actually make it worth your while. I don't know. Kind of weird. But the big thing that I put on my Twitter today was there was artwork of a shark bear. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to go to my Twitter and see, because I put the screenshot on there of it, but it looks fantastic. And on there it was a legendary. So if that's the legendary warlock minion, then sharks are coming back to save warlocks.
Oh,
And I could
yes.
not be more excited about that. Shark bears,
Yes.
nonetheless. So anyway,
How
we're
do you make a
obviously
bear more
thrilled.
lethal? Put a shark head on
You put a shark head. That's exactly right. We obviously could. I mean, we could just talk about speculation and stuff all day. But we actually, 40 minutes into this podcast, we didn't come here to talk about that. We came
Yes.
here to do a deck battle and throw down. Gecko, it's been a while since we've done a deck battle on this show, but I am so thankful that we're bringing it back, man.
Yes, I am loving it. I've been waiting to unveil this deck, but we'll get into the rules and everything first, so.
Absolutely. I honestly, because it's been so long, we may have some listeners who have never heard a deck battle episode. It's more likely than ever. We used to do these about once a month, and honestly, just in the past several months, a lot of the, you know, this show is all about the community, and whenever a co-host comes on, I might toss them some ideas for some shows we could do, but really, I want it to be something they're excited about, and it's just, we've had some great topics and great shows, I think, in the past several months, so, but I'm really thankful to be coming back to these. So, What happens in a deck battle episode is that the guest host brings on their favorite deck onto the show, they break it down for you, and it might not be your most, you know, make it to legend as fast as possible deck or anything, but it's definitely going to be fun, and it's probably going to have some tricks up its sleeve, too. So, so the guest host is going to talk to us about what cards are in the deck, how it works, why they like playing it, and then what's going to happen is that we are going to go off air a little bit and have a best of three battle against me. And the twist is that I'm always going to use the current reigning champion deck of the show, which is the last deck that a guest host brought onto the show and won with. If decks are able to beat three challengers in a row, they're inducted into the Happy Hearthstone Hall of Fame, which still is Dan Patrice's Beastmaster Hunter deck, my very own Warlock Demon Zoo deck, and Craig's Dragon Priest deck. And the defending champion deck right now is Ben Besler's super heavy Naga Druid. You guys might remember this. And this was episode 89. So you can go back. You can go to MMOReporter.com and check it out. I also put, now that we have these nice little copy mechanics, I put the copy code for the deck into these show notes. And I also put it in that episode 89 one too, just because, you know. It's easy to do now, but you can copy this directly and put it right into Hearthstone from your mobile device or from your computer, whatever you like. And we will, of course, also have that for Gecko's deck he's bringing. But if you are interested, didn't listen to that super heavy Naga Druid, it's crazy. It's fun. I built it today. So we're going to have a good time. But why don't you tell us, Gecko, about the monstrosity, the behemoth that you've brought to take down Ben's deck?
Yes, I have brought in my own creation. And this creation is a little bit tricky because I have been trying to build this deck all the way back when Mean Streets of Gadgetzan first came out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, what this deck is I'm just going to call it Shopping with Dragons.
Wait, why is that?
What this is it's a Discover deck. You want to get as much value out of discovering good cards for situations as you possibly can.
Okay.
But I always felt like those Discover cards never really had the oomph and the power that they really needed. So I started to put some of the buff cards in there. And when you start buffing and discovering, you start running away and building this big giant wall of dragons that nobody can possibly get through. So that is the main goal of the deck, is buff up your minions, discover cards. So some of the key cards in my deck are going to be the Stonehill Defender, where you discover a taunt, the Netherspite Historian, so I can discover some dragons, and my Murloc Hydrologist, who's going to be discovering some secrets so that I can start bouncing some cards back or keeping you from hitting the minions I want you to hit. So
it sounds like you're pretty serious about generating some value.
I'm going deep. I'm right down in the bottom of my pockets here.
All right, so these are three cards that, I mean, they're very similar on base level because they each discover something, right? And that's pretty much it. But I'm guessing that you're really trying to get something. The purpose of what you're getting from each of them is very different. Talk to us a little bit about that. Why do you want a taunt minion? Why do you want a dragon? Why do you want a secret?
Mm-hmm. Big things. I mean, the taunt minions are awesome for when you've got an aggro game. You want to look for that Stonehill Defender each time and build up a wall that they cannot get through. And what that wall is doing is it's buying you time for that Netherspite Historian to get those big dragons. You're talking Deathwing, Alexstrasza, Ysera, and you bring those to the game at the end, and that's how you take it.
That's good. And what about the secrets?
The secrets are really, they're a lot of throwing people off. I mean, either you get a big value card right now is the the Kodo, the getaway Kodo.
Stampede Kodo or getaway Kodo. I'm
yes,
sorry.
Yes. You pick up that card, and now all of a sudden that Stonehill Defender is back in your hand. You're getting another Discover minion, or you bounce back the Hydrologist. You're getting another secret. So you're getting a lot of value off a card that's already giving you value.
I'm guessing there's not much of anything that you're upset to get bounced back into your hand from the getaway Kodo.
As far as this deck goes, no. Almost everything in this deck is in there so that if I get it back in my hand, it's just going to come back out and you're going to be really sad to see it again.
I've got a feeling that that's very true. That's really good, man. I'm trying to look through these because the interesting thing is that discovering something, you know, those cards are understated because of that, you know, because there's so much value to generating a card out of nothing, like we talked about before. Mm-hmm. But when you kind of throw in this buff mechanic as well, that can get them back to something very similar to what they would be without that effect. So do you find that this deck struggles in the early game, or is it because it seems like a late game to me?
It is typically styled for the late game. You want to get those dragons into your hand, but I have found with a little bit of teching, I can get a leg up on most of those stronger, aggressive decks. Things like your Dirty Rat is another card I have in here just to give you some early taunt, give you some early defense, and Stonehill Defender, Wicker Flame, Burn Bristle, one of my favorite cards. He heals you as he's taking and blocking all this damage from hitting you. And...
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So
there's a lot to like about a lot of these cards, especially on their own. It would make sense to put them together and they should do something for you.
Mm-hmm. And it's a little scary when you see a 5/5 Wicker Flame drop and he's healing me for 5 each time, as well as
mama.
Yep. The buff, you'll see. You'll see.
Yeah, that really does not make me excited about this. But we'll see if you can actually pull it off. I don't know. Have you actually gotten to run this on the ladder at all, or has this been a something you've been brewing up in the lab behind your house or something? You
know? Yeah, this has been in the chamber for a while, and I take it on ladder almost every single time I can. I am the kind of person who wants to complete their quest, so I will still ladder with the deck that will complete my quest. But when I don't have any quests to do, I love bringing this deck in. It does very good against most meta decks. I mean, I still struggle versus simple things like that quest rogue I was mentioning before.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, it can get you... I have risen to, I think, rank 5 with it, so...
That's... pretty impressive.
It has taken a lot of work. Yes, you need to know what you're doing when you're piloting it, but you put in enough time with this deck and it will pay off.
Now you say that you've been working on this since Mean Streets. Like, how many iterations have you done for this? I mean, have you been hard grinding those games since then, or is this something you kind of just keep coming back to?
I just keep coming back to it. When Mean Streets came out, it really did do a little bit of damage when we lost the Twilight Drake or Twilight Guardian.
Oh, sure. And the Azure Drake.
Yes. When you lose those big taunts that are low cost, like that 4 mana, when you buff that, oh, that was a good time. But the iteration that I've built so far, it has postponed a little bit more towards the late game, and that's where you get your Primordial Drake, which was as I loved as an addition to this deck.
I like it, man. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm honestly, I'm excited to see it play. I'm nervous about playing against it, but I'm eager to see how this goes. If you are listening to us on the, you know, on an audio portion, we'll be right back in just a second, but you can actually check out my experience against this on the YouTube portion. If you're watching this on YouTube, just stay tuned and it'll keep playing. Man, are you ready to throw down?
Oh, I'm ready, Andrew. Let's do this.
Okay, let's go, and we'll be right back after this.
Okay, I'm recording too.
And we are back. The dust has settled. The best of 3 match came down all the way to 3. And I've got to tell you, Gecko, I actually had a buddy who was viewing the game, and he didn't know what we were doing. He just saw me playing with a friend, and he chats me, and he says, "This is the greediest game of Hearthstone I've ever seen in my life."
Oh, yeah. They're reaching for the deepest minions we could possibly get, those high value.
Honestly, I hadn't thought about it until we started playing, but both of our decks were just trying to play a ton of huge minions, but only one of our decks could create big minions out of nothing. And I hear that that ends up giving you the advantage when you're trying to do that.
Yes, exactly. And it came down to the wire a couple of times in those games.
Well, so I have to congratulate you, Gecko. You got the first game under wraps. I was able to screech you out on the second, but you brought it back on the third. So congratulations for bringing the Shopping with Dragons deck. And you're reigning on the throne. How's it feel?
It feels good. I mean, as I said before, that deck that you were playing, it was very, very out there. I mean, you were dropping so many big minions. I was scared. That moment that I used that Dirty Rat, I knew it was a bad idea.
And, you know, I didn't want to tell you beforehand, but when I saw it on your deck list, I was like, that's actually a really bad card against, because I think you pulled Sogoth. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. And I got stopped in my tracks. Yeah.
But so let's go all the way back to the very first game. I actually had some internet problems, so I lost a turn on that. But that game still ended up coming down to the wire. You had, now I saw this at the end. You had pulled a Chromagus and a Bookworm out of Nether Spot Historians, but you were able to get a third dragon also. Do you remember where that was from?
That I believe I. We know who it was, and I'm trying to remember because I had another Bookworm. I pulled him off of that. Or sorry, my Nether Spite Historian.
Because the third Bookworm, obviously, I did not play around and was upset about. But sometimes you just have to roll with it. And then earlier you had Chromagus that you had pulled from that, which
I was very surprised. I mean, I didn't realize we were going to be in Wild, and I see all these dragons I haven't seen in so long. I was so excited.
I think that the deck probably does better in Wild, because you also pulled an Annoyatron off of Stonehill Defender.
Yes, that was very nice to have.
Not the worst thing you could get, but it's very different. I mean, when your deck is all about pulling cards out of nowhere, whether you have a huge variety from Wild or this, you know, very you know, narrow list, you know what you're going to get. It just plays extremely differently. But you've got to tell us what happened at the end of that first game, because I almost had you there.
Yes, that first game, I mean, it was right down to it. I had used my Equality, and I had used my Primordial Drake to clean out the board. And then sure enough, you had played a Naga Witch with the Arch Thief, and suddenly that Naga Witch was a 15-15 because you had taken the artifact. And I am staring death in the face looking at my cards, but
And you had used both of your Aldor Peacekeepers also. Yes. So I at that point I said it on the stream, if you watch this on YouTube, that hey, I've got this. I'm good to go.
And you know what? That one card that every single tournament they say, oh, if only they had this card, and it was Deathwing. Cleaned out the board.
I was speechless. I was just speechless.
Yes, a 13-13 Deathwing, to be exact.
Yeah, from being buffed before. Because the hard thing about this Naga combo deck is it has very little removal. I mean, there's no hard removal at all. It's Wraths and Swipes. So a 13-13, I've just got to take it. I guess there's some taunts that can get in the way, but that late in the game, I had used up most everything that I had.
We were down to about 5 cards in both of our decks, I believe, at that point.
Yes, yeah, that game did last a long time, hence the greedy nature. Now, the second one, I was able to make it out. Were you struggling more that game?
Oh, that second game. You know what? I'll let you tell them, because that card that sat there so long, I just wanted to see it die, but I had no cards to remove it.
So Ragnaros, for those of you who forgot that he exists in Wild, is still really, really good. And the best thing for, I mean, if you have Rag in any deck, the best thing is if he lives, right? The longer he lives, you just keep getting more and more value out of him. And he had lasted a few turns, and I started saying at that point, like, I'm doing good. Like, if he just keeps it up, then I'll be fine. You did pull out an eye for an eye secret, which I played around literally everything else and then figured, oh, he's getting 8 damage to my hero for 1 mana, which I guess that's not bad at all.
No. And I, given the secrets that I was offered, I was like, all right, I'm not going to be able to get too much value out of anything else. I think I got Sacred Trial and Competitive Spirit. Those were my other options. So
yeah, that's not so great. But 8 damage, something.
Absolutely.
So anyway, you had finally figured out a way to get him, and Aldor came down and got me down to a 1/8. I thought, that's fine. You had done this combo before. This is a really powerful combo that, honestly, I haven't seen a lot. Aldor and Bookworm. The problem was, man, you forgot to check to see if you had another dragon in your hand there.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You get caught up in the game. You just want to get that combo out and push it out.
Totally feel you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Rag lived and did his worst and allowed me to win that game.
Yeah.
But then it all came down to the third one. So my internet crapped out the first game. You had a little bit of a brain fart. And so it all came down to what's going to happen in this one. How were you feeling going into it? And what was your draw like? Were you feeling confident as you kept going or not so sure?
Yeah, I mean, my draws were pretty good. I think I had a nice curve going, 2, 3, and 4 mana minions, respectively. And sure enough, I mean, I got a little worried at the beginning there because you were going real quickly with your ramp. You had gotten both your
I had double wild growth and then Jade Blossom on whenever I had 7 mana, so I guess turn 5.
Yeah, that deck, it ramps very quickly when you get those cards.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, yeah, I was watching you ramp, and I was getting a few minions out, and it was a lot of my Discover ones, the Murloc and the Netherspite, or the Stonehill Defender. And just getting a couple of key cards, some good defense up, some walls. It was able to hold back your Hungry Dragons, so.
Yeah, those guys, I mean, I feel like I just didn't have what I needed at different times, and I kept thinking, what if he has a quality? You know, The way that this deck wins is when it's able to get a ton of minions on the board and you don't have answers for it. Mm-hmm. But man, you had a lot of strong removal spells and you were able to just keep pumping out big minion after big minion after big minion. I remember, I think it was in that game you had a Scaled Nightmare, and I was terrified of that because it was a 3/9 coming down since it had been buffed. And so it was quickly a six three or something. I don't know, but that was a card that didn't exist in your deck that all of a sudden I had a lot that I had to throw at it to get rid of it.
Absolutely. And you know what? I love that card for any druid matchup that I go into because hard to remove for a druid, and it just builds and it scales and it ramps. And if you can get some taunts in front of it, it becomes the Scaled Nightmare that it's named after.
I will throw my one speculation for the new expansion that we've got to see some kind of mulch card for Druid, because if they don't have anything to deal with it other than Naturalize, which, come on.
Opponent 2 cards feels really bad.
Yeah, unless I'm doing Mill Druid, I just can't. But
yeah.
I'd be surprised if we don't see something like that. But, man, well, congratulations. I think we saw what your deck was able to do. Did you feel confident or feel good about that?
I'd felt confident in this deck. I had played it. Like I said, I've been building it, customizing it. If anyone does decide to take it out onto standard, there's a lot of switching and moving stuff around that you can do. Take out some of the heavier minions, swap in some Hungry Crabs or Kalaka Crawlers. Just kind of depends on what you're running into. But yeah,
sure.
I was confident in it.
Well, I'm really excited to play it because, man, greed is fun when you're playing all those cards. So congratulations to you, man, and really excited to see how it goes from there.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, we're going to go ahead and go into our community section. No questions this week. Would love for you guys to reach out with anything that you're wondering about, a deck that you're trying out, maybe questions you have about the new expansion, or just you want to share some thoughts about what you'd like to see. I would love to hear that. You can hit me up on Twitter at the email that I'll share at the end of the show. And we had an iTunes review from Odium Infinitus. Yes. Thank you so much, man. That's a pretty cool name. It sounds very like, I don't know, superhero or something. Odium Infinitus.
I feel like I would read that comic book or something.
That's good. 5 stars from him, and he titled it the best Hearthstone podcast. Man, that's an accolade. He says, I started listening to this podcast during the Hearthstone beta. Awesome. Josh was so nice to listen to. He was friendly and positive about having fun with the game. I took a break from Hearthstone, but when I came back, the first thing I did was download this podcast. While not as hardcore as other Hearthstone podcasts, this one is my favorite. The guests are great, and Andrew has done a wonderful job in taking over from Josh. Man, thank you so much. That's like a legacy review. I'm sure Josh listening to this is getting some feels. You know, I'm getting the feels. So, man, really appreciate you doing that. And for any of you guys who are listening who enjoy the show, man, go in and leave in a review on iTunes or on Google Play, Stitcher, whatever you listen to this on, and that helps us so much. It's completely free. It takes about 5 minutes. I'm sure many of you've thought it many times, like, oh yeah, I need to do that, I should do it. Man, if you would do that today, I would really appreciate it. I would love to read your review on the show. And yeah, just so thankful for you doing that, Odium. So thank you. All right, man. Now, we've got a card that we have to talk about, but we can't talk about until it's been introduced in proper fashion. So, have you prepared? Have you, you know, spent weeks training for this moment?
Oh, I've been, you know, just stretching my vocal cords. Actually, I was doing a little bit of yodeling during our games, you know, getting my voice ready for it.
Because you knew it was coming. Gosh, I feel like I should be on the Alps now with a, you know, a Ricola or something like that, but... I'm ready if you are, so
all right,
let's go.
All right, so here we go. He's on fire when he's played. Watch you trade your minions away. They all burn as you cry, 'cause he's healing the damage away. Away. And that is Wicker Flame Burn Bristle.
That was great. That dude, the Adele, I could feel like the fire in your voice, man. That was for real.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you know what? You got to give it up for Wicker Flame, right? He is the fire that reigns. So
all right, so tell us about. I mean, you use this card a lot in the game, so I'm excited to talk about it. But for those of us who may have forgotten, tell us what his stats are and all that stuff. What does he do?
I mean, he is the legendary paladin card that is overlooked very much compared to Tyrion Fordring.
Sure, sure.
But basically, you're looking at a 2/2 for 3 mana, Divine Shield, and Taunt. And as we spoke about earlier in the show, I mean, he's going to have that lifesteal tag. So for now, it's he deals damage, and every time he does, he's going to heal your hero. This guy is the anti-aggro paladin card. You want Absolutely. Him out there every time that you get him early game.
Yeah, now, I mean, like we talked about that charge minion, how he could end up healing you for a lot. Wicker Flame, like if he sticks around, man, he can heal you quite a bit.
Yeah, and put into the right combos with Getaway Kodo and buffing him, you're healing for, instead of 2 damage each turn, you're looking at somewhere between 4 damage every time he gets hit, or 5 damage, or 6. So
now, what if you don't buff him? Like, is he still worth it? 3 mana 2/2s, a little bit light? Like, what's been your experience if you just play him vanilla?
Well, my experience is going by what you're dealt and how the board state looks. If you've got a lot of minions in your face, you're looking at like 2 or 3 minions on the opponent's side of the board, and you don't have any minions played at the moment, Wicker Flame is an awesome option to just put up your walls at the beginning of the game so that you can get a little bit later and push towards its deeper cards. So he is really good at the early game. If you can hold on to him and get those buffs on him, his value just goes up and up from there.
Yeah, I mean, a 3 mana 8/8 with Divine Shield and Taunt, there's no excuse for not playing that.
But... yeah, there was a iteration of this deck that had Don Honcho in it, and when he got with that, it was very nice.
Whew, that's a fast way to the top right there.
Yeah.
He really is a cool card. I mean, he hasn't caught on. Obviously, you know, you mentioned Tyrion, but Tyrion is just so universally good. You just throw him in any Paladin deck. Why do you think Wicker Flame hasn't caught on as much as him or been as much of a standard for, especially with as much aggro has been on the ladder with Aggro Druid and Pirate Warrior and Quest Rogue and stuff like that? Like, why hasn't he caught on so much?
You know what? I ask that question as well. I mean, he is such a good option to have, and especially in the early game for a lot of these paladins, like the control paladin deck that's out there. It focuses a lot on Murlocs, and in that 3-mana slot, you really want to get your Murloc raid leader or something else out there. So there isn't a lot of space for him.
Sure.
But hey, if you've got your Discover Taunt minion, he's always a good choice. So to get that little bit of healing.
I remember learning that early on with Stonehell Defender. Like, Stonehell Defender in Paladin is just a, you know, low-hanging fruit. You're never going to get something bad. I won't say never. But your chances of getting something really good, you know, Burnbristle, Tareem, Tyrion, it's just insane. Even Grimetree Protector or something like that.
Yeah, all those. And what was it? You get offered your class cards more often with Discover. So you're getting a lot of good cards.
If you pull this guy off of that, you're not upset about that. He's certainly going to be better than a Shield Bearer or I don't know what else is. I guess Faceless Shambler, you probably wouldn't be as excited about.
Yeah, a Pompous Thespian or something. You would probably take that guy over that.
Awesome. Man, any final thoughts about Wicker Flame before we close out the show?
Honestly, just again to throw it out there, if you're building a Paladin deck, keep him in mind. He is a pretty good option when you're running into a lot of aggro.
Absolutely. I like it. All right, well, we're going to close out the show, guys. Want to remind you that we are a proud part of the MMO Reporter Network, which is a collaboration of several different podcasts, all on mission to provide fun and entertaining takes on your favorite games. So if you play any kind of MMO like World of Warcraft, Lord of the Rings Online, or any other MMO, really, just go to MMOReporter.com, check out Chris and the team and the other great podcasts that are there. And if you'd like to support the Happy Hearthstone monetarily and help us grow, make it better, help some of the server costs and stuff like that, you can go to patreon.com/MMOReporter to become a patron. That covers the entire network and helps us just make the show better. So we'd love for you to check that out and see some of the incentives we have for you as well. And as always, I would personally love to know what you thought of this show. Would you think of us bringing back the deck battles? Did you like it? Would you like to see more of them? Would you like to see something different? I don't know. And you can do that primarily by hitting me up on Twitter at @AndrewIsLiving, or the show is at @TheHappyHS. You can also email me directly at TheHappyHearthstone@gmail.com. I would love it if you know, you're sitting there and you've been thinking about being a co-host on the show like Gecko was. Just reach out to me. Let me know. Would love to have you on and do a deck battle or do something else altogether different. I don't know. Maybe you've got some wacky idea that will just blow up this show in the best possible way. I don't know. But you got to reach out to me and let me know. So thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. Again, also, be sure that you've checked out our Google Plus community. I've got the link in the show notes, but you can also just go to plus.google.com, search for Happy Hearthstone, and you'll find the 9,000 or so people who are just sharing deck lists and screenshots and having a blast every single day over there. All right, Gecko, if people want to follow you, if they want to hang out with you, see you just being multi echo greedy, you know, all over the ladder, how could they do that?
I'm not too far spread as far as my influence on the internet goes, so you won't find me on Twitch or anything just yet. But if you do want to add me on Battle.net, it is IceGecko #1977. I would love to play some games with you. Like I said earlier in the show, I play everything from Heroes of the Storm, Hearthstone, Diablo, WoW. Just hit me up, and I'd love to play some games with you.
Very cool, man. Well, and we'll have that on the show notes in case you missed it as well or need the spelling. So I know that people are always looking for some friends to share those 80 gold quests with or just to get some ideas when you're on the ladder and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, Gecko, thank you so much, man, for taking the time, for sharing your deck, and hanging out with us over here. It's been a blast having you on, man.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. And you know what? I have to throw this out there. It's been so awesome working with you, trying to get this show set up and started and going. And I just love the fact that a community exists like this, where we can talk and we can be on the show and be a part of it, just mm-hmm. right out there in live. So,
absolutely, man. I mean, it's what makes the Happy Hearthstone the Happy Hearthstone. Exactly. You know? No, awesome, man. I totally agree. It's been a blast having you on. And hey, thank you also for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you guys next time.
See you later.